Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive. Today, we're plunging into something truly unique.
Yeah.
It's a bubble-up roll from a creator named Ocean Duran. Now, if you're wondering, you know, what is a bubble-up roll?
Right.
Picture it like a meticulously curated digital scrapbook. Ocean has organized this incredible array of audio clips, visuals, texts, into this fascinating layout called Neurodiversity Linguistics Etymology Targeted Two-Column Layout. Mm. It's more than just notes.
Definitely. It feels like a map, doesn't it? A personalized map into some really out-of-the-box thinking.
Exactly.
It's quite a journey. Our mission here really is to navigate this whole eclectic mix, which Ocean often calls Ocean Remixes, and sort of extract the core insights.
That's
we want to understand how meaning gets constructed, how language works at its, you know, deepest levels, and even explore these broader philosophical ideas about wisdom, evolution, purpose, all through this creator's very unique lens.
That's right. And you'll find, well, everything in here, spiritual, biblical references right next to incredibly detailed linguistic definitions.
Yeah, and philosophy.
Yeah, philosophical thoughts on history, communication, and even surprising scientific diagrams show up.
It's like stepping inside a mind that just connects things you wouldn't normally connect. Shows you new ways to see familiar ideas.
Totally. Yeah. So, okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Let's start with that core concept then, the Ocean Remix. It feels like it's more than just a title, right? Like a whole philosophy almost.
I think so. It's a distinctive way Ocean Duran combines and reinterprets information.
So what makes this remix approach so, well, significant?
It's about recontextualization, I think. They don't just put things side by side. They reframe them to reveal, like, new layers of meaning.
Okay. Like how?
Well, take DPH20 sequence 01.mp4. It looks at the Adam and Eve story, but not just as a narrative. It uses it to explore this profound tension between spirit and flesh. Or view video P.O2.M4A. It remixes the greatest commandment. It really emphasizes how loving God and your neighbor isn't just passive. It's a foundational, active principle.
So it's not just sticking audio together. It's creating new conceptual frameworks.
Exactly. It's about the ideas behind the mix.
And I noticed this seems to extend even to how Ocean frames, like personal experience. We see titles like Neurodiverse Journey of Water and The Neurobiology of Water's Therapeutic Effects. It suggests this whole remixing thing isn't just about external info, but also about understanding one's own experience.
Right.
And even science through this really personal interconnected filter.
And you see this deep connection woven all through the material with this recurring phrase, "In the beginning was the word," from John 1.
Yeah, that pops up a lot.
It really acts as a foundational text, you could say, for so many of the linguistic and philosophical explorations.
Like that River Ocean Logos piece.
Exactly. River Ocean Logos, "In the beginning was the word." That's described as one of the creator's first dual mixes. It sort of grounds the entire exploration of language in this ancient, really profound concept.
Almost hinting that language itself is fundamental to, well, creation and understanding.
Precisely.
That's actually a perfect lead-in to what this source material does so well, which is dissecting the architecture of language itself.
Hmm.
Ocean Duran takes us on this journey, right? From the tiniest units of sound all the way up to the broadest layers of context.
It's like building language from the ground up.
Yeah.
Showing us the blueprint of communication.
Yeah.
And that journey, interestingly, begins by highlighting the persuasive power of rhetoric, drawing directly from Aristotle.
Okay, so we're talking ethos, pathos, kairos.
Mm-hmm.
We might know these terms, you know, from classics or rhetoric class.
Sure.
But how does Ocean Duran's framing, especially with those biblical connections you mentioned, sort of deepen our understanding? What's the remix insight here?
Well, the remix elevates them, I'd say. Ethos, credibility, isn't just about a speaker's reputation. Ocean Duran breaks it down into moral competence, practical wisdom that's phronesis.
Right.
Virtue, goodwill, and crucially, goodwill towards the audience, eunoia. And it's explicitly tied to that piece, Ocean Remix of Nora 4, ethos, and the word was with God.
Suggesting true credibility is linked to something deeper. Like a divine presence or alignment.
Something like that, yeah. It adds this whole other layer.
And then pathos, the appeal to emotion.
Right. Not just triggering feelings randomly, but skillfully invoking them. Mm. Using powerful tools like metaphor, storytelling, passionate delivery.
Mm-hmm.
The pieces like Oceanography and Ocean Remix, KS Body Pathos, and the word was God, seem to show how emotions can be, well, fundamental, even elemental, in getting a message across that really resonates.
Which brings us to Kairos. Now, this one's fascinating.
It really is, because it's about more than what you say. It's when you say it.
The timing.
Exactly. The right time, season, or opportunity for an argument to actually land.
And the connection there.
Ocean Remix D280 Kairos, he was with God in the beginning, it implies that even foundational truths have a right moment for revelation. It underscores the strategic timing of communication.
Okay, so we see how the delivery of a message is key.
Yeah.
Rhetoric. But then the sources guide us through the literal building blocks of language itself, starting right at the foundation, the sounds.
That's right. We move into phonetics, which is the study of how humans produce and perceive the sounds of speech.
Right.
And the source highlights the difference between a phone, a concrete speech sound we actually make, and a foam, which is more abstract. It's the unit that lets us distinguish meaning, like P versus B and pat and bat.
It's kind of astounding when you stop and think about how much intricate detail goes into just saying one word.
Totally.
Ocean Duran really shows us the complexity, how our breath moves, vocal cords vibrate, tongue, lips, shaping sounds.
Yeah.
It's like this physiological ballet happening constantly.
Hmm. And the material also touches on how different languages use different channels, right? Like spoken English versus visual sign languages. Mm. Entirely different ways of doing this intricate process.
Yeah.
So from the individual sounds, we then build up to morphology. That's the study of words themselves.
How they're formed, how they relate to other words.
Yeah.
Using things like stems, roots, prefixes, suffixes.
Exactly. Think about dog versus dogs. That little S, that's a morpheme, changes the meaning to plural. Simple example.
But then it gets really illuminating when you see how this works in polysynthetic languages.
Yeah.
Like Chukchi.
Oh, yeah. That example's amazing. The word Cherman Lev Churn.
Which means I have a fierce headache.
Right. One word carrying a whole sentence meaning, made up of 8 distinct morphemes. Uh-huh. It just shows how profoundly different languages can structure meaning.
And this is explored in that Ocean Remix Praise Morphology piece connected to 1 Corinthians 14.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got sounds, we've built words. What's next?
Then we look at syntax, the structure of sentences. This is all about the sequencing of subject, verb, object, and how that arrangement creates meaning. SVO, SOV, and so on.
It's so fundamental to how we convey meaning, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And the source connects us powerfully to Genesis 1, describing the creation days as a sequence of actions and objects. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
Yeah, that simple, profound example shows how syntax provides the very framework, even for our most foundational stories.
You see this in Ocean Remix Cityscape syntax, linked with Micah 7.
Right. The light shines in the darkness. That structure matters.
So after structure, we get to meaning itself.
Exactly. Next up is semantics, the study of meaning in language. The word itself comes from the Greek sema, meaning sign.
So phonetics is sounds and morphology syntax is structure. Semantics is about what it all actually means.
Precisely. Ocean Duran highlights Michel Braille coining semantics as the science of significations, explicitly contrasting it with phonetics, the science of sounds.
That's a crucial distinction.
Yeah.
Makes you consider not just how words are formed, but their intrinsic meaning.
Mm-hmm. And you can see this elaborated in Ocean Remix, All the New Semantics. Through him, all things were made.
Okay, and finally, the last layer.
Finally, we arrive at pragmatics. And this is where language gets really fascinating, I think.
What is that?
Because it's about how context contributes to meaning. It evaluates language in real-world social interactions, the relationship between the interpreter and what's being interpreted.
So it's everything beyond the literal words.
Pretty much. It includes implicature, what's implied but not said,
yeah.
Speech acts, relevance, conversation structure, even nonverbal communication. It's about how we grasp what a speaker intends, factoring in all these subtle cues.
Wow. So that brings us full circle on the linguistic architecture. Pragmatics is like the outermost, most contextual layer.
Exactly. As noted in Gravity Navigato, pragmatics in him was life. It's incredible how Ocean Duran connects such deep linguistic theory right back to these foundational biblical concepts.
It really is.
Yeah.
So, okay, we've seen how Ocean Duran dissects language itself from the mm-hmm. tiniest sound to the grandest context. But what's truly remarkable about this creator's mind, I think,
yeah.
is that it doesn't stop at how we communicate. It pushes further, asking why we communicate and what deeper truths language can reveal about our very existence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we move into those really profound philosophical reflections. In Ocean Remix Polariture, The Elementals, which is described as moving from intelligence to intelligenesis.
Yeah, this is where we really get into life's deeper meanings. Yeah. And this section has some truly profound stuff.
Like what stands out?
Well, one key idea is our history books do not lie, but they do not teach. Thus, truth is disregarded.
What does that mean exactly? It's not saying history books are wrong.
No, not necessarily. It's more an observation that just having information or even facts doesn't automatically give you wisdom. It suggests that merely communicating information doesn't always get you the full truth. That wisdom is what helps you uncover the deeper why behind things, looking beyond the surface.
And that's a powerful distinction. And then there's this concept of evolution, not just biological evolution, right?
No, more like a human capacity for self-discovery, for transformation. Ocean Duran suggests our nature is to evolve, not towards destruction, but towards creation.
Right.
And there's this fascinating warning in there, too, that our modern focus on media, electronics, it can actually detour us from seeking the why and how of our own growth.
Like, it distracts us.
Yeah. It's a reminder to look inward, not just outward at our screens all the time.
That really leads into this reevaluation of being consumers.
Oh, yeah, that's provocative. The source suggests that while we consume products, true evolution means getting beyond that role. It means being able to master your environment rather than just being consumed by it. It actually says you have truly been a consumer is when you are with the ability to not be a consumer, but an evolved nature suitable for the environment or world that you master.
Wow. That completely flips the usual meaning. True evolution is self-sufficiency and mastery, not just buying stuff.
Exactly. It's about agency.
And this is where it gets really thought-provoking, I think, with the idea of wisdom itself. Truth comes from within, not without.
That resonates, doesn't it? It challenges the idea that wisdom is something you just acquire externally from books or teachers.
Suggests it's more like an internal wellspring.
Yeah. And that idea is reinforced by that seemingly paradoxical statement. The path of wisdom has no paths, only directions.
Right. That's a bit of a head scratcher.
It is. To increase the world of and paths of wisdom is to search for it without direction. It's counterintuitive.
So what's the interpretation?
It suggests wisdom isn't like a predefined journey with specific steps. It's more a constant, open-ended quest where the pursuit itself shapes your understanding. You have to be open to insights coming from anywhere without a fixed map.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And it also touches on loss or death, not as an end, but as an opportunity.
Yes. An opportunity to overcome life and transfigure in living. That powerful line. First in life, then death to the old life, but reborn in a new life.
It emphasizes a cycle.
A constant cycle of understanding and renewal. Not physical rebirth, obviously, but a continuous transformation of perspective, of self. Letting go of old ways of seeing.
And crucially, Ocean Duran connects collective evolution, how we evolve together, to acceptance.
That's a huge point. The source says we have not evolved because we have not allowed others to live, thus killing them by which we see them, being without purpose or reason.
That's profound. It's saying that true societal evolution requires embracing diversity.
Yes. Rejecting or marginalizing others actually hinders our own collective growth and understanding. We limit ourselves and we limit others.
And those insights scattered within that intelligenesis piece offer some really sharp observations, too.
They do. Like, the sign of intelligence is that you're constantly wondering. Idiots are always dead sure about every damn thing they're doing in their life.
Huh. It's a good reminder that true understanding comes from curiosity, not just certainty.
Exactly. Or how about this one? When in doubt, brainstorm by becoming doubtful in your mind and let your life be made known by what you first doubted.
So doubt isn't a weakness.
It's framed as a catalyst, a powerful tool for discovery, pushing us to challenge assumptions and find new truths.
And one of my favorites, the identical definitions given for define wisdom and find evolved wisdom.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
Despite all this talk of evolution, it suggests the core of wisdom is unchanging. A timeless essence that we just understand more deeply as we evolve.
That seems to be the implication, that the deeper principles stay constant even as our understanding grows. There's this profound stability at the core of true insight, however we arrive at it.
You know, what's truly remarkable about all this material from Ocean Duran is just the sheer breadth of the inquiry.
Absolutely.
It's not just language and philosophy.
Yeah.
We even found scientific diagrams tucked away in there.
Yes. like the Hertzsprung-Russell diagram, which, you know, beautifully shows the relationship between star brightness and temperature.
Yep.
Shows main sequence stars where our sun sits.
Right. And the Hadean and lepton diagram.
Yeah.
Categorizing elementary particles by mass, spin, charge. These aren't just random facts thrown in, are they?
No, I don't think so. They feel like another example of Ocean Duran's really unique approach, synthesizing information from such diverse fields.
It really reflects a mind that's constantly seeking connections, doesn't it?
That's true.
Across all forms of knowledge.
Yeah, from ancient texts to modern particle physics, suggesting that maybe all knowledge ultimately is interconnected, part of one grand narrative of understanding.
So, okay, we've journeyed through this eclectic bubble-up role. We've moved from the intricate layers of linguistic structure.
Right, from the sounds all the way to context.
All the way to these deep philosophical reflections on wisdom, truth, and the very nature of human evolution.
And this deep dive, you know, much like the source material itself, it isn't just about passively absorbing information, is it?
No, not at all.
It really encourages you, the listener, to actively seek connections, to see the interconnectedness of knowledge, and maybe bravely question some traditional perspectives.
It's about finding wisdom in unexpected places, understanding how seemingly different things relate.
Exactly.
And as we close, maybe let's leave you with one final provocative thought from this extraordinary source. Something to mull over, maybe even live by.
Okay.
The path of wisdom has no paths, only directions. When you find direction in this search, you have breached the gates of wisdom, which open when you have found the key which first opens the cemetery gates, then the coffin.
Wow.
Then you will hear the voice from the coffin say, "I'm not dead, just in rest and at sleep sometimes, so that wisdom brings my world this same knowledge."
That's quite an image.
It is. So the question becomes, what will your response be when you encounter wisdom in these unexpected places? Maybe in something that seems old or dormant, like that coffin. And will you be ready? Ready to tell your own stories and embrace that Let's Talk More Action philosophy of continuous evolution?